Blog Talk Radio.
Praise God, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Preacher and the Miracle Man here on this Tuesday, April 2nd of 2019. And it really is hard for me to believe that we're in April already. Seems like maybe a month or two ago that we just started the new year, when in fact the year's a quarter of the way gone already. So pretty crazy. The good news is winter is just about out of here. Just about. Hopefully it doesn't make a horrible winter wicked return like it did last year, mid-April, with that horrible ice storm. That was really, really, really bad. We should still have these T-shirts that said, I survived another Michigan winter because of all of that below zero stuff we had to survive in January. When I think about it, I think there was a winter overall, like, 4 to 5 years ago that was a bit worse. That winter should have had a special T-shirt, don't you think? Mm-hmm. Should have said, I survived another Michigan winter. Sometimes my pastor, Dr. Barclay, says that if he's preached longer than he planned on, he likes to tease and say, we should have T-shirts in the foyer that say, I survived another Mark P. Barclay sermon. Take that what it's worth. But praise God, it is. And now April. Things are starting to warm up. We're glad about that. We're also really glad that you could join us here on the show, wherever you may be, and however you may be accessing the show tonight, whether it be on your iPhone, your Android, maybe you got a tablet, or maybe you're on a laptop, or maybe you're on the old-fashioned desktop computer. Can you believe they still have desktops? That sounds so ancient, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, they still have them. They still make them. I just don't think they're as common as they used to be. I used to have a desktop, not anymore. Now I just have a laptop computer. But nonetheless, regardless of the device, we're so glad you could join us tonight on this great radio program. Now, being it said that it is now April, Cedar Point actually has a very special offer right now for Michigan residents only. What it is for $39, you can get a Cedar Point ticket that includes, get this, not only does it get you into the park, but it gets you free parking and free Coke. Free Coca-Cola. Fountain Coca-Cola beverages, I should add. Because I doubt they'll give you bottles, but you can have free fountain Coca-Cola beverages anywhere that has a fountain, I believe. Most of the places in there should participate. Maybe not all, but that's a pretty cool thing. Because usually when you go to Cedar Point, it's just some individual person. A ticket is like $70 if you don't get it online or at Meijer. And then you pay $20 to park. And then for whatever drinks you get. So $90 versus $39. Kind of got a no-brainer going on here, folks. Just maybe sort of. sort of a no-brainer, maybe. I don't know. It's a big one. But blackout supply, I'm sure. I don't know what the blackout dates are. I don't know on what days you can use that ticket. See cedarpoint.com for details. I figured I would mention what I like to call a Cedar Point. It used to be the Fab Five, like what my five favorite coasters were at the park. Then they got another good one, and then they got another good one. So now it's the Super Seven. This year, there's an eighth ride that I have yet to ride. Now, I've rode more than seven rides there, but the ones I'm about to mention are like my Super 7. And these are in no particular order, by the way, because, well, I've noticed in the times I've been there, sometimes the Top Thrill Dragster has given me the ultimate boom, the ultimate adrenaline rush. Other times it's been Millennium Force. One time I think it was the Maverick. And then one time it was the Magnum. So that's why I'm not going to rank them. That's why I don't have them listed like in some kind of ranking order by any means. I'm about to list the two tallest first, but after that, let's wait and see. Number one. No, that doesn't mean it's my most favorite. That's my number one most favorite because this is just the Super 7 roller coasters that are my favorites. And I think everyone should ride. At least four of these in a day at Cedar Point. Hopefully five. I mean, truly hopefully five. Six would be nice. All seven would be a dream. Okay, here we go. Number one. Top Thrill Dragster, 420 feet, 120 miles an hour. Yes, Rachel, that's the first roller coaster you'll ever go on. Yes, you will. Huh, silence? What does that silence tell me? I take it she's not going to ride it. Is that why you gave me, is that why you were silent? Mm-hmm. Oh, number two, you're going to ride this one too. Millennium Force, 300 feet. No, 290 feet, 93 miles an hour. Let me guess, you would never ride any of these. Wow. Okay, let's see. Number two, top four, number two, Millennium. You got airtime, you got six inversions, which is a lot for a roller coaster. Millennium Force opened actually in 1999, not 2000. So, think about that one for a second. Number three. Nope, wait a minute. The rest of these, the last five are not ranked in any order whatsoever. We're going to Raptor. Raptor, this roller coaster. It's kind of a flying coaster. You go up about 140, 150 feet, I would say. 54 miles an hour. The eye, it might not look too crazy. But when you get on it, it's a beast. And you do, and you should be prepared to let your feet dangle so you won't have a floor when you're in the car once you get going. Number four, we're going to Magnum. The Magnum, it's gotten a little bit more bumpy since I first started riding it back in 2006. It opened in 1989. It was the first roller coaster to top 200 feet at approximately 7 miles an hour. And still thrills many to this day. I should note something. It's one of the last couple of years, it's been one of the top most rode roller coasters at Cedar Point. Even though when it comes to the big rides, this one has one of the shorter lines. That's kind of weird, isn't it? How can you have some of the shorter lines out of all the big rides but still be in the top five for ridership? A couple times being like number two. That doesn't make any sense, does it? Everyone must love it. I know that much. As do I. I love all of these. Part of why I couldn't rank them. Next up, Maverick. You go up about 178 feet at about 68 miles an hour, 90-degree bank turn. You go through a few tunnels, my personal favorite part, going through those tunnels, and then go on way back up, and then go on through another tunnel, like you go through like three different tunnels, and it's pretty awesome. Next up, Wicked Twister. And, well, this one is in this sense, folks. It is not, I repeat, not for the faint at heart. You need to be, when you get on there, when you get seated and on stage, say clear. Instant launch. Straight to like 60, 70 miles an hour. You're going to go up 205 feet. This one was open in 02. A couple times I skipped it. Many of these have been skipped at least once in all the times I've been there, but Top Thrill Millennium are two I always try to get on over the course of a day at CP. Number seven, Valravn. You'll go up about 205, about 75 miles an hour. You got a few inversions going on. You actually hang for a few seconds. I can see why it could scare some people, but it's all fun. Your feet don't exactly dangle, but there's a good amount of airtime on that ride. And this one opened in 2016. Honorable mention goes to the Rougarou. It was once a stand-up roller coaster called the Mantis, opened in 96. However, it was refurbished in 2014. After the 2014 season, rebranded and made a sit-down coaster for the 2015 season. lot of fun, to be honest with you. There are some others that are pretty good, like Gemini and that, but they didn't make the list. After I go to CP, I will let you know on the show whether the Steel Vengeance, formerly Mean Streak was actually torn down completely and then totally rebuilt and renamed Steel Vengeance. I don't know when I'll be there this year, but after I do, I'll let you know whether or not that list gets to be expanded. Cedar Point does have more roller coasters at 200 plus feet at 6 than anywhere else in the world does. Folks, you're not going to get that at Disney World. You're not going to get that at Universal. Yes, those two do have their own qualities. And guess what? Many of these different amusement parks do have their very own unique qualities. Like Kings Island in Cincinnati. That one has its own unique qualities, just like Cedar Point does, just like some others do. Michigan's Adventure. Your water park's pretty awesome, but your roller coasters, time for an update. I'm sure you've heard that, right? That people have said it's time for them to update their stuff. You have heard that, haven't you? Because they haven't gotten a new roller coaster since 08, where Cedar Point gets refreshed, a new roller coaster at least every 2 to 3 years. And mind you, next year is a very big anniversary for them. It's their 150th. 2020 is. So you got to think they're going to come out with something huge. Maybe a 500-footer? Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. I really hope so. Or this. Doesn't have to be 500 feet, but I want it to be something cool that's going to break some kind of record. Whether it breaks the Val Raven record for the dive coaster, or maybe a much better version of the Gatekeeper, because the Gatekeeper didn't make the list, even though it's a new coaster. Anyone who knows me, including you folks, should know this. I really, really, really enjoy these roller coasters down there at Cedar Point. Big Thrill rides in general. I love them. Now, I've heard of a couple adults who have went on some of the kiddie rides, and they like going on those too, as well as the big rides. Not me. Absolutely not me. Because I want a little more thrill than that. So, let me just check the clock. Got a couple of quick things. Oh, by the way, folks, about Cedar Point, before I move on. I know it says Cedar Point Amusement Park. I wish that they would actually think about, now back in the mid-1990s, they used to call themselves the Amazement Park on commercials. I did not know this then. I know it now because I saw back in like late 2017 some of those commercials from like 1995, 1996, 1997. Back in those days, they referred to themselves as the Amazement Park. Like, life's a blast at the summer blues in the Amazement Park where summer dreams come true. And, like, there was a certain song they had. And then they had another one that said, after that, they had a little thing that said, get to the point. Which, I like that, too. But one of my favorites is the Amazement Park. Because it really is amazing, those roller coasters are, because it's beyond amusing. Amusement is like some of those rides at Disney, maybe Ferris wheel ride or carousel ride or something, or maybe some slower rides, or some of their shows they do over at Cedar Point. Amazement, though, is like these huge roller coasters and all that. So I think that you, on the website and on that thing and on the site and that says the amusement park, they should change that U to an A. Amazement Park.
Hey,
what?
Your mom thinks that Cedar Point has moved to Amazing Great Lakes.
Whoops. What?
Amazing Great Lakes.
No, it's not. They're two different places. You would never fit Great Lakes and Cedar Point inside of Great Lakes. It's not big enough. It's not even close to the same size. There's a town called Great Lakes in Ohio, if that's what she means.
I don't know.
If she means that, then it did not go to Great Lakes, Ohio.
She was kidding.
You can't fit it in there. You'll have to. You'd have to go without a lot of your biggest coasters. You realize that, right, Rachel?
Yeah.
You.
I don't
go
on roller coasters. Sorry.
All those seven coasters, you could probably only fit possibly two of them onto that property, don't you think, and still keep everything in there?
Maybe.
Maybe one, but not all seven. You know what I mean? Not all seven, and probably not the biggest one either.
I don't know. I've never been there.
But that place, but mind you, that place is like heaven, and I really think they should brand it as that, because I like it a lot, but I think they should have used the amusement park slogan now, because they're way beyond what they were in 1994, 96, 97. Because back then, they didn't have Top Thrill. They didn't have Millennium Force. They did not have Maverick. They didn't have... They only had one roller coaster at that time that went over 200 feet. Now they got six. So, why they did that, I don't know. And so, we can leave that for what it's worth. Now, folks, one thing real quick, and that is, a portion of the show has been brought to you by Steak and Shake, the fine folks at your local Steak and Shake if you happen to live near one. For example, in the Metro Detroit area, there's 6 of them. Lansing area has 2. One over in Ann Arbor area. I'm not going to tell you where they all are. I am going to tell you this. Anytime you want, you can go there for one of the $3.99 deals that they have. They got a barbecue burger with fries. They have a garlic burger with fries. My personal favorite, the garlic burger with fries. And other things. Also, you can check out their amazing shakes. They have so many different flavors. I had a certain peanut butter one the last time that I was there, and it was so delicious. It really was. So. Want to need for a break? Like if you're shopping and there's a Steak and Shake nearby and you need a break, stop the Shake and Shake. Steak and Shake. And grab yourself a burger and fries or one of the other things they have and maybe possibly a shake. Now, folks, I want you to know something. You listeners are the mouthpiece of the show as far as getting the word out to other people about this great show and how they can be a part of it. That's why I take a minute during every show to tell you folks how you can tell other people how they can be a part. So, what you can have them do is go to blogtalkradio.com. Once again, the website is blogtalkradio.com. In the search bar, you can type in Upfront Entertainment. After you've typed in Upfront Entertainment, you'll see a link that says Live and Large. Once you click on that, you'll see a button that says Miracle Man. After which you will see, click on that, you'll see a button that says follow button. You hit that follow button, you're going to start getting notified as we get ready to do our shows. For example, tomorrow night, we'll have another show, 6:30 at McDonald's, like we always do. And then next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, same thing. By the way, at some point next week, we're going to start dealing with the Easter content, because we're getting to where it's about 2 weeks from Easter. So, going to start teaching on the blood of Jesus. Going to sing some songs about the blood of Jesus. And it's going to be awesome. We're going to talk about why Jesus, and the 5 times Jesus shed his blood, and other great things. And what did the shedding of blood do for us? Why did Jesus die for our sins? Why don't we have to kill an animal anymore anytime we want to talk to God? Why don't we have to offer a sin offering anymore? Thank God we don't, but I'm going to discuss why. Using, of course, the Bible. You can never go wrong with the Bible. So be ready for that. It's going to be awesome. Praise God. Also, I want to let you know, it is always a smart thing to listen to this program on your smartphone or your laptop or your mobile device, you know, your tablet, or even your desktop. If you're kind of old school and you still have a desktop. Anywhere where you have a good internet connection, you'll be able to hear the show. We have a telephone number. You can call in and be a part of the show. You can call in and talk to me about generally anything you want to talk about, as long as it's not political. Do you want prayer? Would you like to ask me something? Whether it be about basically whatever, as long as it's not political. Or do you want prayer? Do you have a Bible question for me? Do you have some other kind of question? Do you want to thank me for something? Do you want to criticize me? Do you just want to say, love you show? Whatever. You can call in and talk to me, the Miracle Man, personally. Now, the number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Once again, that is 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts. Go ahead and press 1. When you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. Listen for the call screen. You'll go through a call screener. And we'll answer the phone, and my assistant will ask you, where you're calling from and what have you. And what do you want to talk to the Miracle Man about? And then I'm going to let you on. We're going to let you on. I'll say okay. Or I'll say, Chris from Bay City, you're on the Miracle Man show this evening. What say you? Or something like that. And then once I say what say you, you will have the floor. And you will be able to say whatever you wish. Now, and hopefully we can have some awesome calls tonight. Now, we are going to pray, and then we're going to open up to Luke 16. Then we're going to go to Hebrews 11. Then we're going to exhort sort of briefly tonight. And then I have mega sports stuff to get to, because from last night I have March Madness stuff. I have Tigers opening weekend, and yesterday I've got Pistons stuff, a little bit of Red Wings stuff. I got a lot of stuff, but first we're going to pray, and then we're going to open up the Word of God for a little bit, and we're going to study the Bible. So, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this great radio show. I thank you for all these listeners who have made the right choice to be a part of this program, Lord, to listen, not to me, but to listen to receive from you, Lord. Thank you that you have something for all of these people. You know what they have need of, Lord, more than what I will ever know that they need. I thank you that you just pour out your spirit upon these people. Thank you that these people have open mind, have a mind prepared to receive from you. Thank you that they have ears to hear, Lord, and a heart to understand your word. Lord, I thank you that you use me as an oracle tonight. And Lord, I thank you right now. I confess in the name of Jesus that sponsors come into this program, increases in listenership come to this program, and as well as finances come into this program, and partners come into this program, and most importantly, souls come into this program. Souls will choose to come and give their life to you. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me just check my clock real quick. Okay, let's open up our Bibles right now to Luke 16. Where did that time go? It's 7:07 already, folks. Where did it go? Luke 16. Thank you, Jesus, for the Word of God. I'm just looking at what else in here. We begin with verse 1. Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting possessions. So he called him in and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, cause you cannot be manager any longer. The manager said to him, what shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 800 gallons of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, and how much do you owe? 1,000 bushels of wheat, he replied. He told him, take your bill and make it 800. The master commended the dishonest manager because he had accounted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use rightly wealth to gain friends for yourselves, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And who also is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, then who will trust you with true riches? And if you haven't been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, so he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. I mean money, it says. But in the verse 14, and the Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this, and they were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, "You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of much, but God knows your heart is highly valued among men, is detestable in God's sight." Verse 16 was proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it. It is easier for heaven and earth to disappear than for the last stroke of a pen to drop out of the law. Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery, and the man who marries a divorced woman also commits adultery. Rich man and Lazarus. Verse 19 now. Now there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. Time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they do not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "That they have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. Let me just check out this time real quick. Just looking at something real quick, folks. I want to read to you the parable of the lost coin real quick. So let's go to Luke, the book of Luke, chapter 15. We're going to begin with verse 8. Why, surely a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Let's read the parable of the prodigal son, too. And I'm going to exhort you for a few minutes. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pots that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servant, 'Quick, bring robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come home, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me. Everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Now, it's Testimony Tuesday. One of the greatest testimonies, actually the greatest testimony, is when someone decides to give their life to Christ. Another great testimony is when you have someone who was in a Christian family like this prodigal son, but then he decides to I'm going to get out of here and I'm not going to live for God. I'm going to just go do it my way. And then he leaves. He goes and squanders all that wealth away. And he just gets in big trouble with God. And then he comes to his senses. And he decides, you know what? I'm going to go home. I'm going to tell my father, Dad, I'm not worthy. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against God. I don't think I'm worthy anymore to be called your son. That prodigal son, when he's still a bit away from home, his dad comes. His dad comes, and then he his dad comes to him, and his son says, Dad, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I'm not worthy to be your son anymore. And then his dad basically says, oh, yes, you are worthy. So he takes his son home with him, and he says, he tells his servant, let's kill the fatted calf. Let's have a party. My younger son was lost. I mean, he was dead. Now he's alive again. He was lost and is found. And the younger son repents and gets right with God again. And Jesus said something about this kind of thing. Jesus said, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who was on their way to eternal hellfire, weeping and gnashing of teeth, and he chooses to give his life to God. Or over a prodigal who gets down the wrong road and starts getting in trouble with God and then chooses to repent. There is more rejoicing in heaven over someone who repents than what there is over 99 or 9 sinners, I forget what it says, over those righteous people who do not need to repent because they're totally right with God. Yes, they're happy when people who have always been right with God or have been right with God for a very long time, when they stay right with God and stay right with God and stay right with God, they're happy about that. But there's even more rejoicing in heaven when people choose to get right with God who are not right with God. Let me tell you something, folks. It's the last of the last of the last of the last days. Some people listening to me right now, some of you might think, well, I got 20 years to get right with God. Maybe I'll do it next year, maybe in 5 years, 10 years. Maybe I'll choose to come to this, one of these services at this church you talk about, and give my life and get right with God there. Well, what about this? What if you got in a car accident tonight? God forbid, but what if you didn't? You didn't get right with God. But what about tomorrow? What about next week? What about next month? So my challenge to you is this. Get right with God now, so that you don't become like that person, that rich ruler, who ended up in hellfire. So you have to choose. And he begged Abraham, Abraham, please, let me send Lazarus to cool my tongue. That's not going to work. So you need to go right with God. And pray a prayer. And getting right with God is more than just praying some sinner's prayer. Getting right with God is a lifestyle. It's about reading the Word of God, obeying God, serving God, doing what God says, and just being obedient to His Word. And so, praying the prayer of salvation is easy. It only takes 15 seconds. It is painless. It costs you no money at all. But you can get transferred from praying this prayer. You can be transferred from eternal hellfire to eternal salvation and being in heaven. You got to choose. Am I going to give my life to God? Am I going to get right with God? Well, not. So, folks, listeners, I'm going to pray a prayer to help you. And those of you who are listening can repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. Fill me. Change me. Make me like you. Show me how to become your servant. Make me fresh and new. I ask you to come into my heart, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Now, those of you who gave your lives to Jesus for the first time, you can go ahead and call into the program, and you can talk to me, and I can tell you about what's next. Because it's really important that you're in good standing with God. It really is important. Because it's the last day. After all, that is the best, the greatest miracle that ever happens for a Christian is their salvation. Amen and amen and amen. Let me just check my clock real quick. Lord God, thank you for these people. Thank you, Lord God, for this word, that these people would get it on the inside of them. Thank you that they realize how crucial of times we live in. Thank you that these people, if they're listening and for whatever reason they chose not to pray the prayer, and they're not right with you, I pray that they will get right with you, Lord Jesus. And I just thank you that we would all be doers of this word and not hearers only. and they give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Got a lot of sports to cover, and I got about 20 minutes to do it. Start with the Red Wings. Red Wings actually went on a bit of a roll. They've won 5 games in a row. However, it's too little too late. They will not be making the playoffs this year. 3rd year in a row. 3rd year in a row of no playoffs. One of their players does have 30 goals this year. So that is awesome to see. Hopefully they can use that to their advantage next year as they work to hopefully make the playoffs next year. Their next game is tonight, and you'll be able to hear it on 100.5 FM, WSGW. The Pistons. Lost last night to Indiana Pacers. Blake Griffin is out indefinitely. They're doing an injury. Right now they only hold the 8th playoff spot in the East by 1 game. They were up as high as the 6th, but then they lost a couple of games. Then they won a couple, and then they lost again. Hopefully, though, they got a game tomorrow night at Little Caesars Arena against the Indiana Pacers. Hopefully, they can just keep they can get back to winning these games, because I really hope they can make the playoffs. I really hope they can win a couple of playoff games and not be swept out, like what happened both of the last 2 times that they made the playoffs. Okay. The Tigers. On opening day, this past weekend, the Tigers had a road series against the Toronto Blue Jays over in Toronto, Canada. Thursday, the Tigers win 2-0 in 10 innings. Friday, they get shut out 6-0. Saturday, they get shut out 3-0. Sunday, they won 3-2 in extra innings. Yesterday, the Tigers go to New York to start a series against the Yanks, and they fall 3-1. I should mention this. The Yankees have a ton of players on the disabled list right now. It's incredible how many players they have on that disabled list. Another thing that stands out, the Tigers have scored. Here's the run composition of the first 5 games. 2-0-0-3-1. 6 runs. That's it. 6. They've given up. The first game they didn't give up any. 6-3-6-3-2-3. 12. The pitching hasn't been too bad, because other than Friday night, it's not too bad when you're only giving up basically 3 runs a game. Here's the thing, though. If you're constantly giving up 2-3 runs a game, you got to be scoring at least 4 or 5. They're not doing that right now. Right now they're averaging less than 2 runs a game, including 2 shutouts. That's got to change. Their offense needs to not be anemic anymore. On Sunday, Cabrera almost hit 2 home runs out of that ballpark in Toronto. However, both times it was foul. That would have been incredible if he would have actually hit both of those out of there. And it would have been, hey, big man, where's the rest of the offense? Where are they? Why are they trying to sleep? So we'll have to see what's going on. Hopefully, they can change and they can wake up a bit and be like they used to be. Because they used to hit lots and lots and lots of home runs and get lots of runs and lots of RBIs. But we'll have to see. Opening day in Detroit is Friday, April 5th. I believe it's April 5th in Detroit is Tigers' home opener. Maybe some home cooking could help the Tigers. Just maybe. I hope being in front of those fans, being able to welcome Miggy back, I hope that's going to really make people excited. I know it would make me excited. Because of the Tigers that are not former Tigers, that are current Tigers, the big man's my favorite. He really is. Verlander used to be, but he got traded to Houston on the same day that Justin Upton got traded. We had 2 Justins, both got traded the same day. The chances of that happening are basically 0. But it happened. So, you can take that for what it's worth. All right. Let me just check the time again. We have this wild thing called March Madness to talk about. And let me tell you, it was pretty wild. Thursday, Sweet 16 starts. Michigan had to play Texas Tech. And I thought, Texas Tech hasn't been in the Final Four ever. Michigan was just there last year. I think Michigan has a better talent. By the way, they were number 1 for just a little while earlier in the season. Michigan got slaughtered by Texas Tech. They only scored 40-some points the whole game. That was it. Texas Tech rocked them around, especially in the second half. Just pounced on them. The 3 seed beat a 2 seed. Not a big difference, 2 versus 3, but I really thought that Michigan was going to be able to win that game. Then Texas Tech went on and beat Gonzaga. I figured Michigan was going to beat Gonzaga. That didn't happen. Because Texas Tech knocked Michigan out right before it got to that point. The West region, therefore, Texas Tech is in the Final Four. First time ever. And congrats to the Red Raiders. Next team, Auburn. Well, Sweet 16, Auburn, a 5 seed, takes on North Carolina, a 1 seed. And they eke out a win against the Tar Heels. SEC beats ACC. Then, on Sunday, you have an all-SEC matchup, as you have Auburn taking on Kentucky. Folks, I thought for sure that Carolina, that for the Elite Eight, you would have North Carolina taking on Kentucky. And I thought Kentucky's going to win, and they're going to represent the Elite Eight. They're going to represent the Final Four. Kentucky falls by 6 points to Auburn. Auburn is in the Final Four for the first time ever. Congratulations to the Auburn Tigers. Next up, Virginia. We all know what happened with Virginia last year. They lost to that University of Maryland at Baltimore. Yep. Just like that. Boom. 16 beats one, first time ever. That was last year. This year, they survived two pretty good tests. They are in their first Final Four since 1984. Next up, dun, 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 dun. That's right. Victory for MSU. Two victories for MSU, in fact, this past weekend. You had Michigan State do pretty good against LSU. I believe they were a three-seed LSU, and Michigan State did a good job against LSU. Now, a friend of mine, he thought LSU would take out Michigan State. I don't know why he picked that on his bracket. I don't know what the deal was. I think he was just a huge Michigan fan, and I think that's what I thought happened. And mind you, his bracket got totally destroyed. Boom, boom. That Michigan loss, just once Michigan lost Thursday night, that just totally caused other things in that bracket to just disappear too. But Michigan State beat Louisiana by like 10, 12 points. Oh, but Sunday night, folks, at times Michigan State was down by as much as six. Michigan State was down by a couple with like 30 seconds to go. They got a three. I mean, a three was good. And then Cassius Winston ran the ball down as time expired for Michigan State, as they were able to get that win over top-seeded Duke, 68-67. You couldn't have asked for a better finish. Michigan State takes on Texas Tech on Saturday in Minneapolis, Minnesota, at U.S. Bank Stadium. And folks, I think Michigan State has a legitimate. No, wait. I'm going to pick who I think has the best chance to win the championship tomorrow night. I will say tonight, best luck to Michigan State, as well as best luck to Auburn, best luck to Texas Tech, and best luck to Virginia. Only one of these teams other than Michigan State has ever been there. Only one. The other two have never been there. Michigan State was last there in 2015. They lost to Duke. So, it was a crazy weekend. You only had one number one seed left. You could have had no number one seeds left. None. But you had one. And they were right. These people were right when they said that these twos, threes, fours, fives were real closely knit in talent compared to the ones. And they were right. That person who said that was absolutely right. Because your makeup this year is a one seed, a two seed, a three seed, a five seed. In order, Virginia, MSU, Texas Tech, and Auburn. Mind you, Texas Tech and Auburn have never been to the Final Four. So, what would be crazy, I think, would be if on Monday you had Texas Tech versus Auburn as your national championship. That could happen. Will it happen? Well, you have to wait until tomorrow night to hear my picks. I have a very good memory of Michigan State in the Final Four. I mean, I have several. But my favorite, all-time favorite, was that back in 2009, Michigan State. The 2008-09 season, we knew years in advance that the Final Four would be in Detroit. I was thinking, what if Michigan or Michigan State makes it to the Final Four? At that point, Michigan was decent, but not like Michigan State. And I was thinking, it's pretty cool. I think State could do it. Sure enough, they did it. They had to take out top-seeded Louisville in order to get there. They did it. They beat them by 10 points. And I was so excited when I saw, yes, they're going to the Final Four. Yay! Woo-hoo! And then they go to the Final Four. The first assignment, UConn. Mind you this. They were the only two seed in that Final Four. All of the other three teams in there were one seeds. Villanova, or as I like to call them, Nopa, North Carolina, and UConn. State was able to take out UConn. I will share more on this tomorrow night. So tomorrow night, later on in the show, we'll have part two of my commentary from Michigan State. being that Final Four in Detroit. Until tomorrow night, folks, God first, God always. So long, everybody, and I'll see you tomorrow night.